Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Hallelujah.
I mean, God is good. Hallelujah. While we were worshiping this morning, I feel like God had a word for me to give to the body of Christ this morning. And I don't know who you are, maybe multitudes of you here, man, that need this word. The word is that God spoke to me. He says, tell them that my calling is without repentance. The calling that I've called you to. He's called you. How many of you know that God has called you? How many of you know there's something in your heart that God's saying, I've been talking to you about? And he says, it's not with repentance. He says, man, I've given it to you. It really has. He says, just talk to me about it. Go after it. I'll tell you something. If you'll just listen to the voice of the Lord, just listen to Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He will lead you and guide you in everything that He's called you into. Is that cool? He's a good God. His gifts are without repentance. He does not take them back. He gives them, He issues them. And wouldn't it be sad for you to get up in heaven and say, what's that big pile of presents right there, God? Merry Christmas. What's that big pile of presents? And He says, those are all the ones I had for you, man. But you wouldn't even unwrap them. Oh, I got them for you. Those are for you. And you alone. Hallelujah. So know that this morning what God's called you into, it's not, He doesn't pull it back. He doesn't tease you with it. He said, here it is. It's for you. And I guarantee you, as soon as you open that thing up, whatever it is He's given to you, there'll be more of a satisfied fulfillment in your life because it's you're doing what He has called you to do. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. I think it's cool. I don't know about you guys, but I thank God for it. I thank God. I do. I thank God for all of you. I know God's got great things for you. I know that. And all I can do is be a voice to say this is what God's saying to you. He's got great things for you. He wants to do you good. If God be for you, right? If God be for you, who can be against you? Nothing can be against you if God's for you. And God says, boy, I'm for you. I am on your side, is what God's saying. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I better get to preaching because I got a lot of scripture. I hope you will take notes on this because we're still kind of talking about flow, talking about how the kingdom of God does not operate like the kingdom of men. The kingdom of men is very structured. But the kingdom of God is a different kind of structure. The structure that you'll find in the Bible in the kingdom of God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit in the saints. Is that okay? That's the structure of God. Hallelujah. And I believe that the Word of God has been teaching us and talking to us about these things. And He's often asked us that we might be one. And Jesus prayed that they might be one as you and I, Father, are one, is what Jesus was praying before. And the only way we're going to understand this is when we yield to this structure of what God has set up. It's not like the structure of men. And I was reading and studying, and it was not like the Lord was saying to me, make sure you speak about Romans 13. Romans 13 is talking about how we are to be subject to higher powers. How many know that? I mean, come on, man. Yeah, you guys know that. You know that if you go 90 down the freeway, guess what? You might get pulled over. They might write you a ticket. You might be praying at that time right now. Yeah. It might cost you. Is that right? It might cost you some money. Because the Bible says, let every soul be subject to higher powers. But what the phrase in there that caught my ear, what God was saying to me was this, that they are there for the punishment of evildoers. How many know that? That's why they're there. You see, the world doesn't understand the kingdom of God, so they've got to have some kind of a structure. But the Holy Spirit works on a different... God's kingdom works on a wholly different structure, if you will. It's Father, Son, Holy Spirit in the saints. Hallelujah. And according to God, and this might sound weird to you, but there are no evildoers in the kingdom. How many know that? The Word of God even tells us that, you know, these are the ones that will not make it. They were drunkards and I don't know, there's a whole bunch of thieves. Come on, Pastor John, help me out here, man. No, there's a whole bunch of different things that say these will not see the kingdom of God. They won't enter into the kingdom of God. So the Father is saying, hey, there are no evildoers in my kingdom. If my people are subject to me. Is that right? How many of you know it's important that we be subject to him? So yeah, the world needs the structure. But I'm going to tell you, the kingdom of God does not need that structure. We have something different. We've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's the way we operate. When it operates that way, it makes us, what the Word of God says, one. Is that okay? The unity of the Spirit, the unity of the Spirit of God is going to bring the body of Christ together. We will be one. Is that what Jesus prayed for? Is that right? It's not just this body. It is the body of Christ that's in the earth. That's why I know some folks will just pray for our country. Come on, you got to pray for the world. You got to open up a little bit. God, do what you want on this planet. It belongs to you, and you've given it to us. So, Lord, do what you want, not what I want. Come on. Hallelujah. And when you begin to pray that way, you don't look at some other church as a different... I mean, you say, hey, man, these are brothers and sisters. We are the body of Christ. There comes an acknowledgement of what God has done in the life of another believer. That's all it is. It's cool, isn't it? I say it's cool. God is at work today to bring his body into unity. Hallelujah. And I want to say this to you, and I know some of you heard this over and over. Pastor's all about flow. Flow. We're going to start calling him flow. Yeah. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to tell you something. God's been saying to me, he says, my kingdom operates with flow. It flows. It flows. How many of you found that out? You go to speak to somebody, all of a sudden you're speaking scriptures you didn't even think of. It's a flow. Hallelujah. God wants to show us that he's saying that what I've given you, the gift that I've given you, his name is called the Holy Spirit, is the flow that's going to touch the world. Hallelujah. Man, I'm going to pop here. Hallelujah. I'm going to break open here. But if you will, go to your Bibles. I better start preaching because I think I'm getting ahead of myself. I have to keep looking at Pastor John because he gives me signals. Watch it. No, I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. Hey, I love you guys. Amen. Love you guys. Merry Christmas. Hope you guys are having fun, enjoying your days and going after maybe gifts for your loved ones or just speaking good things to folks, man. Enjoy your days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you will, turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter 17. Hallelujah. And like I said, please take some notes or listen to the stream that we have out from the church so that you can get some more, hear some of these things. I do believe God has given us, is doing something very different than the earth. And folks will say, well, people say different. No, it's according to the Word of God. It can be different as long as it's according to this. Is that right? Is that right? Crazy. Can you imagine how Isaiah felt when he said, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son? Can you imagine that? Now, that's different. People around him saying, oh boy, he's lost it. But it was the Word of the Lord. Is that right? Do we celebrate that virgin that had a son? We don't celebrate the virgin. We celebrate the birth of Christ. Is that right? You better make sure you get that clear. Hallelujah. So can you imagine Isaiah saying something like that in his day, and people listening to it and say, man, he's lost it. Didn't happen for another 400 years. Didn't happen. So a lot of people would say, well, that's a false prophet because what he said didn't happen. No. When it's the word of the Lord, you know. You know. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Exodus chapter 17. Take notes. It's good to have something entering your heart. Might sound new. It's good. You check it out with the Lord. You go to the Word of God. You check it out. You allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you through the Word, and you watch what happens. Hallelujah. This is not my word, it's His word. And I seek hard after His word. I go after His word. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 17, Father, we thank You for Your word. We ask You, Lord, that You would, Holy Spirit, have Your way. Have Your way, have Your way. Lord, we're but men, but we belong to You. Therefore, Father, lead us, guide us, teach us this morning, Lord, as You would have us to learn, Father, as You would have us to hear. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor next to you. Say, Merry Christmas. Yeah, you look good. Amen. Hallelujah. Exodus 17, starting at verse 1, says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin. After their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink." How many of you like drinking water when you're thirsty? How many of you like that? Man, nothing like a good cold glass of water. And these folks have been traveling, walking, and now they pitched their tents, and now there's no water. "Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' And Moses said to them, 'Why do you chide with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord?'" It's a thing that we have, that we do with one another. It's something when things aren't going right for us, sometimes we'll jump on somebody. Anybody like that? Nobody? Nobody's ever like that. Something going wrong, so you just you'll bite somebody. Is that right? Yeah, well, praise God. You guys are great Christians. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. Oh, no. There's some things that happen in our lives. Yeah, hallelujah. And Moses is going, "Why are you fighting with me? Why are you doing this?" He said, "Man, you're going to get the Lord mad." "And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, 'Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?' And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, 'What shall I do unto this people, Lord? They be almost ready to stone me.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go on before the people, and take with you the elders of Israel, thy rod wherewith you smote the river. Take in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink.' And the Lord did so in the sight of all Israel." One of the things that God was trying to do with the people of Israel was to teach them. How many know we need to be taught? Is that right? Isn't it good to be taught? And in the ways of the Lord, it's really good. And God is always wanting to teach us how to walk in faith. You guys know what I'm talking about? God desires for us to walk in faith. He says, you know, believe me. These are the people that saw all the plagues upon Egypt. These are the people that saw the Red Sea split open, and they crossed through it. And these are the people that watched Pharaoh's army as they entered into that sea. That sea just swallowed them up, and they saw all the implements of war, the spears and everything laying up against the side of the Red Sea, and they saw all that. They saw God do miraculous things. Wouldn't you think that they would be able to say, "God, we know You can give us water"? Isn't that right? Wouldn't you think that? Come on, man. What more do you need? And Moses, "What are you fighting with me, man? I'm not God. Didn't God tell you that? I'm not God. I'm just Moses. Let's ask God for..." No, these people had to have Moses. "You need to get us water." You know, that many people out in the desert at that time, they said probably a little over 1 million people out there in a desert. You imagine how much water it would take daily to give these folks, not to mention food daily for folks. They're people just like you and me. We got to have water. We got to have food. And they're after Moses. "Hey, we need water." And Moses said, "God, they're getting ready to kill me." Isn't that crazy? I want you to go to, just keep your finger here, because I mean, keep your finger in Exodus 17, because we're going to be bouncing back and forth. But I want to go to Numbers chapter 20. Hallelujah. And God gave them water in that, you know, what we just, God went ahead and split the rock open and waters flowed. And that, this is one of the reasons I'm looking at this story so much, because I see so much flow in the story. And God has been talking to me about flow, and so I'm looking at this story. And while I was reading this story, God began to show me some things. And so now we're in Exodus 20. It's almost the same scenario, but it changes. And here's in Exodus 20, starting at verse 1, it says, Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. That was Aaron and Moses' sister. And the people chode with Moses and spoke, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our cattle should die there? Wherefore have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed, figs, vines, pomegranates, neither is there any, now he said, water to drink. These folks had a rock pour out. Is that right? How many go? They saw a rock split and water flowed out of it, and it watered all of them and their cattle. They're almost in the same place again, and now they're after Moses again. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather you the assembly together, thou, Aaron, thy brother, and speak to the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, I like the way he does it. Hear now, you rebels. Hear now, you rebels. Must we fetch you water out of... He sounds like he's a cowboy, don't he? Say, Hear now, you rebels. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand and with his rod, and he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. Now, a lot of you know this, but some of you might not know this, that if you look very careful at the scripture, God told him to speak to the rock rather than hit it. He had hit the rock one time. How do you know Jesus was only going to die once? That rock was Christ, is what the Bible tells us. That was a type of Christ, and he hit that rock with that stick twice that time. And the Lord was not pleased. That action right there actually kept Moses out of the promised land. It really did. Isn't that crazy? Here he's doing all he can for God. And gets caught on a little hang up. Just didn't hear what God was saying. But yet, God is still trying to teach these people, you need to walk in faith. You need faith. Faith is the first word I want you to write down. Write down faith in your book. Write it down. Know this, because God is God. What pleases God, you all know this, is faith. Is that right? Without faith, it is impossible. Impossible, the Bible says, to please God. Impossible without faith. Faith is one of the primary things of faith, right? Make sure you get faith written down on in your little Bible, in your book, in your notebook. I'm going to take you to a scripture. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Hallelujah. Faith. Let us therefore fear. Now, the writer of Hebrews is talking about Moses and the congregation in the desert. He says, let us fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. How many of you don't want to come short of any of God's promises? I don't want to come short of any, I want every promise that God has for me. I want it to happen in my life. Everything that, I don't want to come short. That's why I pay attention to what God's trying to say to me. That's why I'll tell God, if I'm doing something wrong, you got to help me. Help me, show me, do something in my life. Tell my wife to tell me. She'll tell me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I don't want to miss any of the promises of God. If God's got some promises set up for me, I want to get a hold of them. How many of you agree with that and say amen? You can raise your hands if you like. I mean, you can let God see your hand. It's okay. It's all right. He likes to see your hand. Hallelujah. Nobody's going to raise their hand on that. What's up with that? It's okay. Praise the Lord. It says, lest the promise being left of an entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Do you see that word seem? You see, that word seem is dependent on you. The promises are there. Do you hear me? Lest you miss any of these, you seem like you're not short of anything. God is even declaring it here. You've got everything you need. You just need to speak to me about it. And then he says this, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as to them, but the word preached them did not profit them, not being what? Mixed with what? Faith. Hallelujah. Let me just ask you something. Are you mixing the promises of God with faith? Or are you just allowing these promises to sit there idle? Are you mixing them with faith? Are you taking your faith and saying, God, I'm going to believe you for this. I don't care what I see with my... Do you know the Word of God says we walk by faith and not by sight? Do you know that? Do you know that? So I don't care what the Word... I don't care what I see around me. Your Word says this, Lord. And that's what I believe. See, that's called mixing faith with what God has promised you. Hallelujah. It's a cool thing to do. It's a good thing for you. Hallelujah. The Word of God being mixed with faith, intermingled with faith. Romans 10:17 says this. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? By the Word of God. Can I be real honest with you? I'm just be real honest with you, and I don't want to get any of you mad, but possibly, God might be trying to say something to you. He knows your heart, and he knows the time you spend with him. But let me just say, very possibly, maybe you're not going to his word because you really just don't believe him. Is that okay to say that to you? Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. Ha! You got to love me. I don't feel the love right now. Yeah. Well, I'm going to say that to you. Is it possible that you don't believe God and his promises? Therefore, you won't go to his word. Therefore, you won't spend some time and say, yeah, I'm just going to read. I will read everything else. I will watch TV till it falls off the wall. How's that? But he says, I will... Somehow, I don't read the Word of God. Can I tell you this? Maybe you just don't believe God. Or maybe you've given up on God. Maybe what you had asked God for just hasn't happened. Or something happened in your life and you say, God's not hearing what I'm saying. Oh, he's hearing. He knows who you are. And one of the things that, you know, that Jesus, the Bible talks about Jesus when he came, it says, a smoking flax he wouldn't put out. You know what smoking flax looks like? Anybody know what smoking flax looks like? It looks like when you blow a candle out, there's that smoke coming off of that thing. That's what it looks like. And the Word of God says that Jesus wouldn't even quench that. What he wants to do is create a fire in you so that your fire begins to lighten everything about your life. And see, he cares about you. But God, I'm going to tell you something. You got to spend some time in the Word. You just do. I'm going to tell you, God's talking to somebody. He might be talking to me. Hallelujah. Watch this. Faith. I'm going to go back to Exodus chapter 17. I'm going to look at verses 5 and 6. And the reason I'm asking you to go into the Word of God, because when you're in the Word of God, God will speak to you. Is that right? And it's important that you listen to what he's saying to you. Is that okay? It's important that you listen. Write down listen as your next word for this morning's message. Say, first one was faith. Next one is listen. Listen. How many of you have ever been talking to somebody and you're talking to them and you know they're not listening to you? Has that ever happened to anybody? They are totally distracted. Is that right? Is that Roy? How many of you have felt that? And you know that. They'll walk five, you walk a couple steps away and they'll come back to you. Oh, did you say? Yeah. You weren't listening to me, were you? How many of you know how important it is to listen? Is that right? It's important to listen. I found that out with my wife. I better be listening. You better be listening. What do you want for dinner tonight, honey? Whatever. Well, I can make this and that and the other. Don't say nothing, I'll come back. Well, I'm not making nothing tonight because you're not listening to me. That's all. Oh, yeah. How many know it's important to listen? It is important to listen. And with God, it's the same way. That's why I said, get in the Word of God and listen for what he's telling you. Check this out. Watch what happens when Moses listens to God. He goes to God and he says, hey, man, verse 4, he says, these people are getting ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people, take with you the elders of Israel, your rod therewith, that you smote the river with, and take in your hand and go. And behold, I will stand before thee here upon the rock and Oreb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. So Moses is listening. The very next part of that verse, it says, and so Moses did. He did what he heard. Is that right? Is that okay? So it's important that you listen. Because when you listen and God speaks to you, you'll know it's him, and then you'll do what he tells you. Is that right? Some of you. How many of you know God's told you to do something and you didn't? How many of you know? Come on. I'm going to tell you what. God has said something to me and I just didn't obey it. And next thing I know, when I'm looking, I go, that's what God wanted me to talk about. You'll know that God had said it to you, especially because you'll say, I missed an opportunity. Like I said, I don't want to miss anything that God has for me. I don't want to miss an opportunity of being able to speak in the life of somebody. Hallelujah. So it's important that we listen. Listen. Oh, man. Numbers chapter 20, verse 7 and 8. Numbers 27 and 8, back in Numbers, verse 7 says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, gather the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak to the rock before their eyes, and it shall come. And it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and beasts to drink. Verse 9 says, Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he was commanded. Know this, in verse 20, things changed for Moses. He listened, but guess what he didn't do well? He didn't listen very well, did he? Because in this situation, God told him, just speak to the rock, Moses. Moses got out there and got it all in the moment. Big man on campus. Must we fetch you water out? And he hits the rock. God said, I didn't tell you to do that. Can I say, folks, let me just say this. The kingdom today depends on you doing what you hear God saying to you. Do you understand that? Is that okay to tell you? It depends on you. You have the relationship with God. You do what God tells you to do. Hallelujah. Isn't that cool? This is a whole different situation we're in today, folks. God is using the body of Christ to minister in the earth today. Oh, God. Hallelujah. So it is important. It's very important that you listen. Hey, are you listening? I'm just kidding, man. Scare these guys. No, man, I'm listening. Listen. Look at your neighbor and say, listen. Escúchame, is that right? Escúchame. Atiéndame, is that right? Where's Ruben? Atiéndeme. Yeah, I don't say things right. Hallelujah. Listen is what God said. Listen. So when you go to the Word of God, say, Lord, speak to my heart. Let me listen to what you're saying to me today. Hallelujah. You'd be surprised what God might be saying to you. You'd be surprised how chatterbox our God is. Amen? Come on, man. Oh, man, he loves to commune with his people. He loves to talk to you. He loves it. And he loves it when you talk to him. He does. He's got time for you. Oh, man. Thank you, Father. Psalm 89. I'm sorry, 81 verse 8 and 9. Oh, man, I love this psalm. I'm going to go to it because I like seeing it in my Bible. Verse 8 and 9. Hear, O my people, and I will testify to you. This is God speaking. Hear, I'll testify to you, O Israel, if you will listen to me. There shall no strange God be in thee. Do you hear that? There'll be nothing that is contrary to him be inside of you. Is that okay to you? Hallelujah. There'll be nothing like that will be in you. Neither shall you worship any strange God if you listen to him. Is that okay? Folks, most of the time, you know, can I tell you? The Bible says, it talks about sometimes our God is our belly. Is that all right? Oh, boy, that's weird. Can I tell you? Sometimes you put yourself as a position of God over your life. And God says, if you listen to me, there will be nothing like that in your life. There will be nothing like that in your life. You listen to me. There will be no strange God within you. Hallelujah. So I like saying this every once in a while. Get over yourself. Is that okay? Get over yourself. Look at your neighbor and say, get over yourself. Yeah. Now look at the other neighbor on the other side and say, you too. Yeah, come on, man. Get over yourself. Hallelujah. Let God be God in your life. Is that okay? Hallelujah. You too. You too. Hallelujah. Glory to God if you will listen. Let's go back to Exodus 17 again. Obey. How many like that word, obey? You say, somebody says, obey. You go, oh, man. No, obey. Oh, man. Hallelujah. Obey. Hallelujah. Pastor John was asking me about a word in our marriage vows. To have and to hold, to obey. And he says, is that in there? I said, man, I don't know. I'll check. I think it is. Hallelujah. But that's a tough one, isn't that right? In your marriage vows, the priest, the pastor says, do you promise to obey? And you go, wait a minute. Obey what? Her? Him? No. Oh, man. Oh, by the way, I looked. It's not in there. Not in there. Yeah. Hallelujah. Obey. We obey him. Amen. Hallelujah. Obedience is important with God. Can I tell you that? Can I tell you it's so important with God? And we saw it in these stories. We saw where Moses, the first time he said, you know, what am I going to do? He says, take your stick, take your rod, go out there, gather some of the guys around with you, walk up to that rock and hit it with your stick, and water will flow. Moses was obedient. Come on, say, yeah, go, Moses. Yeah, hallelujah. Water flowing, cattle's drinking, sheep are drinking, everybody's happy. The people still don't get it. Is that right? Because the next time it happens, Moses walks up to it. God tells him, I want you to walk up to that rock. And this time, Moses, I want you to speak to it. Obedience is important with God. What he tells you, it's important that you do what he says. Huh. Moses walks up to him and he says, and he hits the rock twice. God says, for this cause, Moses, you will not see the inheritance that I've given my people. It's important that you obey. Write down obey in your book. Obey. We got faith, we got listen, and we got obey. Hallelujah. Obey. Tough. I tell Rosie that all the time. She shut up. Come on, babe. Obey. It's time to obey. No. 1 Samuel 15:22 says this. 1 Samuel 15:22 says this. Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken, which is another word of listening, than the fat of rams. It's better to obey the Lord. You see, God is speaking to your heart. He's telling you stuff. It's important that you obey those things. Sometimes somebody might tell you something exactly contrary to what God is saying to you. You got a choice now. Is that right? Who am I going to obey? Who are you going to obey? Yeah. Got that. Who's your daddy? Yeah. God. That's my daddy. Man, God, I'm going to obey my God. I'm going to obey God because he told me. He said this to me. Hallelujah. Man, to obey God. Hallelujah. To obey. And the last thing, let's go back we're still in number 17. I'm going to go this. God had given them water and they drank. And it was cool, man. And verse 8 says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone, put it under him, and he sat on that stone. Oh, man. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. They held up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out of the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. I didn't give you these verses, did I? It's okay. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. What I like about this story is Moses, right after God had watered the people, Amalek and his men came against the children of Israel. And I think that when God gave them water out of the rock might have sparked something in them, so that when this war began, Moses had no problem of gathering men to go fight the battle. Joshua had no problem of gathering his bunch and going out there to fight that battle. And now here Moses said, I'm going to go up on top of the hill and I'm going to go up there and watch the battle. And the Bible says every time he held his hands up, they would begin to win the battle. Is that right? And he's standing there and they're fighting. Her and Aaron are standing there watching, and they're watching. Yeah, we're doing it. We are tearing them up. I don't know what that, we are. I mean, it's almost over. Moses, man, praise God. And he puts his hands down. Aaron and her looking out there, they go, dude, it's turned. The battle has turned. Pick your hands up, Moses. See, what Moses was doing was waiting on the Lord. Is that right? Waiting on the Lord. The last word I want you to put down is wait. Wait. Let's look at that. Faith, listen, obey, and wait. Is that okay? Wait on the Lord. Wait on him. There's another word I can use. See, because you might not see this. You might not get it. But what I'm talking about is flow. We're talking about flow. And every one of these letters, if you look up and down, you're going to see flow at the beginning of this thing. It's flow. I had a choice. I'm going to either use wait or worship. But Moses is also worshiping the Lord. Is that right? So either way, it works. It's a flow. Moses was in contact with a flow. Oh, you kind of get me on this. There was a flow happening. And it depended upon him when he had his hands up in the air. This flow would come in. Strength to those that were in the battle. Strength. I'm going to say strength to them in the battle. Flow was happening. But his arms got tired. They got heavy. I should have started at the beginning of this and had everybody hold their hands up for the whole sermon. It would have been good, huh? Because your hands do get, how many know your hands do get heavy? And he needed somebody. And you know what I like? They pulled up, the Bible says that they pulled up a rock, a stone, and he sat on the rock. Hallelujah. Who's the rock? It's Jesus. His name is Jesus. He sat on this rock and he's got his hands up. He's got a couple of people helping him hold his hands up. Hallelujah. And the Bible says they won the battle because check this out. Psalm 27:7 says this. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. Hallelujah. Hear, Lord, when I cry. How many of you say, Lord, are you hearing me? How many ever said that to God? Can I tell you, he is hearing you. He hears you. He hears the cry of your heart. He really does. I want you to look at this verse. Isaiah 30, verse 7. The Egyptians will help in vain. Those people out in the world out there, the ones that are under that different structure that we're talking about, they might try to help you, but their help really goes so far and it doesn't get any further. Do you know that? How many know that? How many know this? Your trust should be in the Lord. And he says right here, he says, the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore, have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to what? To what? Sit still. Can I tell you that? Your strength is to sit still. Pull up a rock. Rocker. Sit down on it. Worship God and say, God, I can't change any situation. I can try, but I can't change it like you can. God, will you hear my prayer? And just sit there and wait and wait and wait on God, wait on God. And a flow, let me tell you, this is a prescription for flow. You're going to work in faith. You're going to listen. You're going to obey. And you're going to worship and wait. And you watch this flow begins to flow into your lives and touch those around you. Speak to people all over, whatever, whatever. And God will cause things to happen so that, he will position you so that he can use that flow to come into your heart and out into the world. Do you know that? He'll do that for you. He loves you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Psalm 46, verse 10 and 11. It's my last verse. Be still, is what God says. Be still. Know that I'm God. He says, I will be exalted amongst the heathen. How's that going to happen? It's going to be done through you. Do you know that? He will be exalted because of the body of Christ that's in the earth. He's going to use you. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted where? In the earth. Hallelujah. Not just in the United States of America. Come on, folks. We got to think more than that. We got to pray for this world. Lord, touch the world. Touch the body of Christ in the world. Father, there's people in China and all these other places where being a Christian just isn't allowed. If you're a Christian, you might be facing a gun. I mean, it's just the way it is. We can't just pray for our country. We got to pray for our country, but we got to go further than that. We got to pray for the kingdom of God in the earth. Is that okay? Hallelujah. He says, be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. How many like that? What's Christmas about? Emmanuel. 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 It's okay. Thank you. His name is called. You guys know the song? Emmanuel. Is that right? It's God with us. It says, revealed in us. His name is called. Again. Emmanuel. it up. Let's sing it one more time. Sing it from the depth of your heart if you can. Just us. Absolutely, he's with you. He said that he loves you. He will be with you until the end of the time, end of earth. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing in your people today, Lord. God, I'm asking you, Father God, that you would, Father, cause a flow, Lord, a flow into our city, into our state, into our nation, into our world, Lord. Let us be, Father God, a wellhead, if you will, Father, where the waters of life, living waters of life. Father, you said that this house would flow with living water. Out of thee, O house of God, shall flow rivers of living waters, what you said, Lord. Lord, you also said, Father God, out of thee, O house of God, shall flow the people of God, taking the water of life into the city and causing life in every area of the city. So I thank you for that, Father. Thank you for the words of life, the water of life, Lord, flowing through your people. Lord, speak to our hearts. Give us this, not only this Christmas season, Father, but also, Lord, every day, Lord. Give us direction into what you would have us to do, Father. We thank you for it, God. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. If anybody wants